There's no problem too big God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep to trusting by faith and know you'll get through it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you.
Thank you, ladies. Please grab your Bibles and stand together and turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm just going to read one verse, and then we're going to read about 15 verses after we sit. Nehemiah chapter 6. I heard a message this week. Are you awake on the patio? Sound like they're sick. We welcome Mrs. Hawking back. She was in the hospital. We're so glad to see her back. You'll be back tonight, right, Brother Hawking? You'll be back? Okay, good, good. We have something special we want to do. Nehemiah chapter 6. Heard a message this week about middle-aged people. Brother Ray, get was midlife crisis. Midlife crisis. You ever wonder why Brother Myers drives along all these sporty vehicles? Corvette's next. Corvette's next. How many here, ladies, don't raise your hand. You're not allowed to. How many of you men, you're 40 and over? Raise your hand. 40 and over. Okay. All right. Way over. I guess this is a senior crisis over here. Every stage of life, there's a new challenge. And by the way, there's a new opportunity. Okay, so we don't want to be negative, but you got to face it. Listen, man, you're a teenager, and you're like, yes, you know, I can't wait. I'm going to go to college. Finals. Reports. Fs on your report card. And then you graduate. Yes, I'm going to get paid $75,000 the week after I graduate. Listen, you're probably going to be working at Jack in a Box. Like, man, they say, well, what's your work experience? Say, work experience? I've been going to school for 10 years or 12, you know. But the book of Nehemiah, there's many great truths, but one real big theme in there is finish. Finish your marriage. Finish with what God wants us to do with our children. Finish. I talked to somebody yesterday in their early 50s, and I'm just sort of giving them some advice. Good people, actually new in our church. And I said, look, you know, we can see the finish line. And let's finish. Let's finish. And this book, of course, they finished the wall, but there's so many different applications that we can see here. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 6. And actually, this is the verse, I think, that's on our shirt, isn't it? Chapter 6, verse 15. Wait, is that what that's? Yeah, 15. Look at verse 15. Many different obstacles. Again, this wall had been torn down for decades, and they finished this wall in 52 days. Again, look at verse 15. So the wall was, can you say that word with us, class? Say it. Finished. Say it again, please. Finished. In the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. Lord, help us to finish. Finish our race for Christ. Finish our marriage to the glory of God. Finish well with our children. Finish in our ministry. Finish in our testimony for Christ. Lord, might thy Holy Spirit take the words from the Word of God and challenge us, encourage us, correct us if we need to be corrected, instruct us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. I'm just going to take a moment to review. Nehemiah's passion helped him finish building the walls in 52 days. Again, everybody's passionate about something. Okay, let's get that passion directed in God's direction and what God's purpose and will is. Nehemiah's consistent prayer helped him to finish the wall. You see throughout the book of Nehemiah, especially those early chapters, Nehemiah would whisper a prayer while he's in the presence of the king. He'd whisper a prayer while he's being attacked. And prayer is so important to finish. My wife forwarded this email. I have a email file of encouraging emails, and it's filled just with so many blessings of God's people. And this is just one little one that was sent this week. I won't say who it is because they didn't give us permission to say who it was, but it's no big deal. Good morning, Mrs. Mary. Glad to hear you having a wonderful time. I have been praying every 2 hours starting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is one of the ladies in our church. Fasting all day too. We're praying for the 52-day campaign in our families. Prayer. Prayer. And by the way, this morning as I was waking up, I prayed Nehemiah's prayer that he had in Nehemiah 6:9. Oh God, strengthen my hands. By the way, we need God to strengthen our hands, all of us. Then we see Nehemiah recognition of God's hand helped him to finish the wall in 52 days. And by the way, we're in this body of flesh. And Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And we're here. And we strive to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we need to recognize the working of God in our lives. And we need to be cognitive that God is working. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, God's working in your life. Okay, so, oh, well, you know, I'm sort of backslidden. Well, God's spanking you. Okay? You say, why is he spanking you? Because he loves you. Okay? How many have children? Raise your hand. You have children. Okay? The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Okay? We chasten our children. I don't mean chase them. Chase them means spank them. Okay? But God is always working. And Nehemiah's recognition of God's hand. And of course, that's so God gets the glory. It's tomorrow, we have an intensive Bible college class tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, from 8 to 12:30. And the class is the multiplying model out of Acts 9:31, and it's just about church planting. And the biblical model in Acts, Titus, and then the historical model. But here's the point. This week we were on a little it was a little getaway. It was a rewards trip, and it was part of a vacation. But I got a phone call from a pastor, and I didn't get around to calling him back until maybe it was about Wednesday. And I talked to him as Pastor Stokes. Pastor Stokes is in Duarte. He's a pastor in Duarte. But he told me the story. He said, Pastor, and we were talking a couple things, but he said, Pastor Esposito, I just want to let you know that the model that God has inspired you guys to use at your church for church planning, he said, when we saw you start the church in Monterey Park, he said, we observed and it inspired us to start a church. I said, wow. By the way, somebody's watching. By the way, someone's always watching. We were at a hotel. By the way, I had all 8 of my children, my granddaughter, my daughter-in-law, the whole bunch was. We were all at a hotel. And we were, like, on the spotlight. Okay? First of all of our girls are modest. Okay? And so when you're in a hotel for 5 days, people go, everywhere, every time we went in the foyer and they had a little breakfast area, we were being watched. And you look over there, the people at the desk are watching you. The people you're eating with are watching you. And the one lady at the desk, she talked to my wife, and she said, I've been watching your family. I'm like, oh, my soul, I wonder what my sons did this time. Was it Ben? Was it Nathaniel? Or was it my 23-year-old Timothy, you know? And she started tearing up, and she said, that's how families are supposed to be. She said, we don't see that anymore. We didn't know who this lady who was, but she was watching us. And people watch from afar, but back to the Brother Stokes, he said, Pastor Esposito, this model that God has given you, and by the way, God gave us from the Bible, but Brother Beller was the channel that God used, and he said, we started church in El Monte, and he said, we use your model. He said, we now, it's only about a year old, he said, we now average about 70 people in our church, brand new church. He said, you know what else we've done because of that model? He said, we just start, by the way, Brother Stokes is a unique man. He's single. He's about my age. Yeah, wow. Give me a staff member that's 50 that doesn't have a wife and doesn't have kids, man. But anyway, he's a very, you know, when I say unique, don't start. He's a great guy. just you know, he has a little bit more time. You know, he doesn't have to, you know, have all these different other responsibilities. But he said, we just started another church in Whittier. He's pastoring three churches. And you say, what's the point? Here's the point. You say, why did God, or why did that conversation happen this week? I'll tell you why, Brother Ray. Because God knew that tomorrow we're going to teach to some college students to try to inspire them to maybe, by the way, what I think America needs is new churches. And not only new churches, the right type of churches. Okay, not just something where we come in and we have a lot of entertainment and everybody comes in and everybody's all riled up and no change of the heart. But it was, I believe that was, I recognize that God, in his providence and his sovereignty, had him call me this week because I'm fired up now to get started with the class tomorrow. Okay, recognize God's working. By the way, God doesn't just work in church. He doesn't just work when you're reading your Bible. He does work in church. He does work when you're reading your Bible. But God's always working. God's working at work. And God's work. Listen, I remember I had a boss, and he was so mean, and he cursed, and he'd curse us out. He was an agent of God, and God used him to help. I never forget, I worked in a steel mill when I went to Bible college. And I wasn't producing them. I mean, everything was about production. And my boss came up to me and he said, and a few curse words and in between, and he said, I got to fire you. Whoa, that was humbling. And then he walked on. He was a man of few words, but his words were pretty powerful. You say, what'd you do? I went to my dorm. I was in college. And I got on my knees and said, God, I don't want to be fired. That's a bad testimony. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. I just wasn't producing. And then I got some sermons. That was when we had tapes. How many remember back in the olden days? Remember the tapes? Not 8-track. We don't go that far back. Okay? We don't go quite that far back. That's the over-the-hill gang, okay? But I went back on how to be a good Christian employee, and I got all these verses on work and diligence and so forth. But God was working right there. And we see in the book of Nehemiah kept saying, God's hand. And by the way, God's hand of blessing is just not on us just when things are going well. Oh, well, God must not be in this because things aren't going well. No, a lot of times things aren't going well, but God is in it. Nehemiah, I mean, listen, these guys had a sword in one hand and a trowel in another hand, and some of them had spears. They could have said, man, God's not in this. No, God was in it. But whenever you're doing something and building a family and building a marriage and building a life for God, there's going to be opposition. And he recognized God's hand. Then we see there was family teamwork. We saw Nehemiah 4:12 when they started naming these different families, the daughters were helping rebuild the wall. Now, by the way, I want to thank all the different families, moms and dads and teenage daughters and teenage sons and grandpas and grandmas that signed up to work during the 50. We're going to work tomorrow, June 10th to August 10th, 52 consecutive days on that construction site. No Sundays, and we were hoping to have 15 to 20 men a day working, and looks like we're going to have closer to 30 men a day working. And by the way, this morning, many of you that weren't here last Sunday night, you're going to have an opportunity, so I think we're going to have a lot more than that, and a lot of ladies, and the ladies are going to cook, and thank you so much. Teamwork. Then Nehemiah's care, and this is all review from the last few weeks. Care helped him to finish the wall. He cared. Remember, life is not, life is God and others. And that's what it is. Loving God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and loving others as yourself. And then Nehemiah had a work ethic. But I want you to, let's all stand together. Oh, no, we already stood. Nehemiah chapter 6. I just want to see if you're still awake. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah was focused. Can everybody say focused? Focused. Focused. Remember Kung Fu? Remember you old time? Remember Kung Fu? Focus, grasshopper. Okay? We got laughs from those 45 and over, right? Focus. Nehemiah was focused. Okay? Look at Nehemiah chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 1 to 16. Nehemiah chapter 6. He was very focused. He was not easily distracted, though there were many distractions. Look at verse 1. Now, it came to pass when Sanballat, distractors, and Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors. They weren't totally finished quite yet. Verse 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do mischief. Now, these guys were, I like what Brother Suter calls them, church plants. So what are they? They're planted to distract you. Don't forget, one lady, she's here, and she's here in the church. She's a wonderful lady, and she was having difficulties, and I don't believe what she was sort of implying. She said, I wonder if I was just planted here to distract you, your wife and the church. No, you weren't, but some people are. These people were just, that's they were. But they said, come, let us meet together. By the way, just because someone smiles at you and shakes your hand, hi, doesn't mean they're on your team. This group was not on their team. They said, let us meet together, join together in some village. Look at verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, by the way, Nehemiah didn't come down. But he sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. By the way, whatever work we're doing for God, it's a great work. Your marriage is a great work. Your marriage is supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church. Everything for God is a great work. He said, I'm doing a great work. So that I cannot come down, he was focused. He said, I'm not going to be distracted. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times. These guys were persistent. Four different times after this sort. And I answered them after the same manner. He kept saying, I'm focused. I'm not coming down. I'm focused. I'm not coming down. I'm focused. I'm not coming down. Then verse number 5. Then Sanballat, sent Sanballat his servant. So this is the enemy's servants unto me in like manner. The fifth time. I mean, these guys just were very persistent with an open letter in his hand. Now they have a different strategy. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith, it that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king. And it's a bunch of lies according to these words. Verse 7, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. And this is all fictitious. It's untrue, not true. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. The king already gave him permission. So you know, there's a bunch of junk going on. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Hey, come on, let's go talk about this. Okay? Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou fiendest then out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be done, that be not done. I remember David Gibbs, Attorney Gibbs, came in and he said, you know, sometimes the enemy, and at that time he was not saying the enemy was the city, but people that were trying to stop us from building our building. They said, you know what they try to do? They try to wear you out so that you easily give in. Okay? And that's what the devil does. That's what the enemy does. Verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. You know what Nehemiah was saying? They are weakening me. They're wearing me out. That's five times in this letter and the false accusations, and I'm wondering who's listening to it. I wonder what's going on. And Nehemiah prays. Verse 10, afterwards, I came unto the house of Shimei, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together. There's still, let's go to Starbucks, have a drink, let's have some coffee. They probably didn't have Starbucks then, but Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple. Now let's go in the temple and talk about this. For they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. By the way, we see that even some of God's people got involved here. They were, look up here, let me say this. Do you know Brother Pineda and Pastor and Brother Kyle and Brother Myers? You know we can be deceived. Do you know sometimes we can actually, if we're not staying in that book and staying on our knees 24/7, we actually, and sometimes we are, can be tools of the devil. Okay? That's why we all need to walk with God. Okay? Let's not cause problems amongst each other. Look at verse 11. And I said, should such a man as I flee? He was focused. And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? He said, I'm not going to run and go in the temple. He said, I will not go in. Verse 12. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. He had very good, keen spiritual perception. But that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sambal had hired them. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report. Man, I mean, Nehemiah's got it coming from all over the place here, that they might reproach me. Verse 14, another prayer. Here's Nehemiah. Man, he's going through all this, and here's another prayer. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. And again, verse 15, so the wall was finished in 25 days, on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. Nehemiah was focused, very, very focused. Look up here, okay? Brother, you have two children, right? A boy and a girl. The millionaire family. Okay? Probably going to have more, right? All right. Oh, that's no, it's, I mean, we're on it, all right? Here's the thing. How long have you been married? 6 years. You put a guy in the spot, right? I almost got him in trouble. Is that right? Is it six? Going on six. Okay, now, Pastor got the couple in trouble here. Here's the thing. Whether it's building a wall or building a marriage, you got to be focused. And again, I'll say it until the day I go to heaven. In the year 2013, there's more distractions than there's ever been. Again, the Cain family over there, they live in the farm country, right? That's me. There's distractions there. But we're in the city, and everybody has to be on the internet, and everybody has to have Google Plus and what's your website and all that, and everybody now, the kids, they're 8 years old and they got their own email and they got their cell phones, and let me say, distractions. And if you're not careful, even some of them are good, so-called good distractions, and they're going to listen, if you're going to have a good marriage, you had better be focused. Husbands, do it however you want. I like to encourage our men, have one date night a week. The wives are saying, how about two? That won't hurt. Have a date. So we're too busy to have a date. You're too busy then. Relationships need to be cultivated. They need to be maintained. But if you're not focused to say, listen, by the grace of God, this marriage is going to be Christ on. You say, man, my wife's getting grouchy. Well, you're probably getting grouchy too. And by the way, if she is getting grouchy, an unhappy wife is a public rebuke to her husband. You didn't get that, did you? I'll say it again. An unhappy wife is a public rebuke to her husband. The Bible said you're supposed to stay home the first year of marriage to cheer her up. I married a great... Listen, you married her, you keep her happy. I'm serious. And by the way, it's probably because you're just a little grumpy yourself. It's gonna take focus to build a family. Years ago, by the way, those moms and dads, let me just say this. You are almost going to have to walk on water if you want to see your children turn out in the year 2013. You say, oh, I don't believe all of it. You better catch that. You say, why? There are so many distractions. Listen, as a pastor of one church, almost 25 years, little kids getting involved with internet pornography. Oh, pastor, about every second week, it ought to be every week, because there's so much garbage out there. We're not careful with all the technology. We got all the junk sitting in our homes, and now the kids have the internet on their phones. You must be focused to see your children turn out for God. Focus. Years ago, I was introduced to... You ever heard of the Duggars, 20 plus, 19 and counting, and the Bates? You ever heard of those big families? Okay, someone asked me yesterday, Pastor, are you going to have any more kids? I don't know. We got 8. Who knows? But the group that the Duggars, the homeschool group, the Duggars and the Bates are associated with, those are the people that influenced me years ago. People say, Pastor, we go to all these other conferences. I never hear anything like that. I was identifying with people that were very focused on strong families. That might be one reason why I emphasize it a lot. Strong marriages, strong children. Oh, well, you know, I don't want my children to be weird. Let me say this. If your children are going to be godly in this day, they're going to be marked as weird. I don't want my kids to be marked as weird. Then they're going to be worldly and fleshly, and they might go to the devil. But I want them to be cool and godly. Ain't going to work. Let's just say this. It ain't cool to be cool. You'll catch that one. Read that in the Hebrew. I still get material. Some of these from this homeschool. By the way, and I won't go into homeschoolers and so forth, but I like their focus. But I have a series. It's called the Entrepreneurial Boot Camp. It's a CD series on all these men. Some of them were CEOs of companies. Some of them had very high paying jobs, and they said, "You know what? This is destroying my marriage. It's destroying my children." And they stepped down. With their salaries, with the prestige that they had, with the office that they had, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start our own home business so that we can just all serve the Lord together. Focused. They said, I can't be focused. Fighting to try to go up the ladder of success is hurting my marriage. It's an unbelievable series. All these testimonies of these men that said, listen, now my marriage was beginning to get destroyed. I saw how it was affecting my children. By the way, those of us in the ministry, we have to be focused. The ministry sometimes can hurt our families. I have some wonderful friends. I've talked to them, and their children have gone astray. And they say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. They were too involved in ministry. And what happened? Next thing you know, if their 17-year-old son or 18-year-old daughter, whatever, went off and did and say, what happened? We missed it. We weren't staying focused. To build anything, you must be focused. By the way, look, sports people know this. Who was the last sports guy that did 2 sports? Bo Jackson? They don't do it anymore. You say, why? You can't. We might want to learn from the sports guys. Listen, you can't be successful. You can't do everything. You just can't. You say, what do you have to do? You got to give some things up if you're going to be a godly Christian, a godly husband, a godly father, a godly mother, and if you're going to be, God, what have you called me to do on this earth? If you're going to fulfill the purpose of God, you're going to have to say no to a lot of good things. Focus. Hobbies. Look, we went fishing last week. People think I fish every week. I go fishing maybe 2 times a year. Maybe. So I'm getting ready to go. By the way, when I go, look, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right. I do not want to sit there for 5 hours and not get 1 bite. The only bite I'm getting is a mosquito bite. I ain't going there. I am going to learn. And so, and again, I might be archaic. I've never gotten on a website by myself. If for one reason I'll communicate to the church, you don't have to do it. But I have my wife and my kids do it for me, okay? So I'm sitting there, I said, okay, get on Bass Pro Shop. By the way, Bass Pro Shop, it's a religious store. There's a couple of them around, and they have a lot of religious items in there. Okay, and so I got on there, and I just, you know, trout, Sierra Nevadas, and what you do. And I'll tell you, Brother Myers, I could have been on that Bass Pro Shop website for 5 hours. Articles and new bait and hooks and what kind of line. And I'm thinking, this is what people do every day of their life. They go home and they get on a website and 4 hours, and I'm thinking, you'll never have those 4 hours again. Quit looking at me like that. You say, why? You're doing that this morning when your wife was saying, hurry up, honey, we got to go to church. The Long Beach weather, I checked the weather. I have it on my phone now. Long Beach weather. You put it on, and it gives you the 10-day forecast. Off to the side, it has a little box. I don't know what it's called. You know what it's called. I don't know what it's called. It has in it, and it gives weather things that are going on in the country, a picture. And it has these tornadoes. And I'm like, click on the tornado. Wow, someone's going down. I mean, it's like, boom, you know, and then put it on full screen. Like, wow. Then another box comes up. And I'm thinking, you know what? I've done 3 boxes. Each box is 3 minutes. That's 9 minutes. I ain't going anymore. But listen. They're going to have to trust God to take them out of that tornado. I cannot help them on that monitor. You know what Nehemiah said? I'm going to stay focused. You guys can't distract me. You so-called Christians are trying to distract me. I'm going to be focused on what God called me to do. By the way, a church that stays focused to fulfill the mission, each church is unique in its own way, to fulfill the mission that God has for them, they will be able to fulfill their purpose. We as a church, we're focused. Listen, we talk about family, I hate to say this, but some people, when I say multi-generational vision for the family, do you know what some you don't roll your eyes, but I can see you rolling your eyes. You're like, not that again. I'm single. And I don't have children. By the way, maybe you can learn to help some lost person to say, you know what? Our church could probably help you with your family. We're committed to that. We'll be committed. You say, oh, Pastor, that's because you got a bunch of kids. And by the way, I'm going to have kids. And then guess what kids have? Grandchildren. Okay? We're focused on that. We'll be focused on it. This summer, we'll be teaching about the family. Oh, every year, we've got to go through that again. Yes, we get to go through that again. It'll help our marriages. It'll help our children. Listen, there's never a time where we need more help from God and from His words and the wisdom that God gives us on how to have strong families. We're focused on reaching Jerusalem. You say, why? Because God is focused on reaching Jerusalem. It's in the Great Commission, and we're in a city of 500,000. There's people in this city that need the Lord Jesus Christ. We're focused on it. By the way, when we get the building, we can get more focused. We got to get that thing done so we can have more energy and time. We're focused on, by the way, the Monterey Park Church, they were soul winning in the new city. What's this city called? Right next to Rosemead. They met a man. He's been here for 20 years. He had never been in a church from Vietnam. Never been in a church. Doesn't really know anything about Jesus. And he showed up at church. He didn't get saved, but he's that close to getting saved. We're a church that's focused on the Great Commission, families, the Great Commission, reaching our Jerusalem, but reaching our Judea and Samaria. So, oh, we hear that all the time. We need to hear it again because we need to stay focused on it. You say, what's Judea and Samaria? Church planting. We're focused on it. By the way, you know what's happening now? We're beginning to attract people that have, I talked to somebody this week. And I said, when I talk to people, I say, what's the dream? But what's the dream? You say, what's the dream? What does God want you to give your life to? And he said, pastoring. I said, really? He said, pastoring. I said, man, you called the right person. And I started telling him our dream about church planting. Okay? And so we're focused on that. We're focused on that. We have a man coming out from Michigan. He might come here, might move here. About, you say, Pastor, what's the message? Here's the message. I'm done. If you're going to build, you're going to build a marriage. You're going to build a family. You're going to build a ministry. What is God? It's going to take focus. And one of the keys about focus, you got to be like Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Look, we were at Bishop, and they had this big banner, trout fishing tournament. Yeah, let's go. Say, what did you want to go? I'm looking at the dates. I'm going, I wonder if I'm available at that time. By the way, have you learned this? You can pretty much be available anytime you want if you really want to do something bad enough. I mean, there's sick days and personal days and vacation days and lie to the boss days. Okay? But I looked at that banner and I sort of thought in my mind, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't have time to go to trout tournaments. Nothing wrong with it. Maybe something I'd take my children to sometime. But focus. Focus. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together, our heads bowed, eyes closed.